بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Well, guys, Dean Torres run out of topics to talk about.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it's never going to be true. What the heck? You know how many things are going on in the world? You think that we're going to have something not to talk about?
We had a guest planned for today, but apparently he couldn't make it. But we had something else in mind that we wanted to talk about, and something that may be beneficial for other people out there, because we live in a world where us as Muslims have to make it by different means than the average person. And I saw a video the other day of this brother, Allahumma barik. It was a very good reminder that us as Muslims, we can make money through haram means without a shadow of a doubt. Like, there's so many different ways we can make money if we really wanted to. But the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is instilled in us of someone who has true taqwa, like consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows that you can't go through those means to make that money, even though you can make a lot of money. Like, I've seen from people that I knew in high school, they used to scam, right? They used to do like these Cash App scams and like these loan scams and stuff like that. And they used to make a lot of money. And I'd be like, wow, dang, like they're up. Like they'd have 10K every single week just rolling in like it was nothing. I was like, wow, subhanAllah. But like, it's a lot of money at the time. But then I was like, where's this money really going to get you? Like, you're using it for the wrong means. You're getting it for the wrong reasons. Like, for someone who gets money in a haram means, like, we're supposed to just donate that money and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was like, it's so easy. Like, I could do that and I could take an easy way out, but that's not what I'm going
to
do.
No, you're so right. Because I remember me and my friends, we used to have so many conversations. We'd be like, man, bro, if this and this was not haram, we'd be millionaires, bro. Like, I could, alcohol industry is so easy to get into, like selling alcohol to even kids. Cause that's what a lot of, you know, people do. They sell alcohol to kids, and, you know, kids are an easy target to sell to, you know, that's one of the biggest markets out there. And, or for example, just selling lottery tickets and things like that. You know, we can easily get rich off of that. Or people selling drugs.
And it's like, it's important to know, like, we're Muslim, but we do live, like, especially like here in the West, we live with other people. And like, you live in, it's a different culture. It's a different society. And they have different things. Like, and it's important, you can't compromise your religion, who you are, just for a little gain. Like, what's being poor for a little bit just for you to, like, it only takes, like, the quick transaction is not going to get you anywhere. But rather, it's more fulfilling to take your time, maybe suffer through it a little, be patient, and rely upon God to get where you want to go than to take the easy way out, you know? It's not admirable. I don't see it, like, even if it wasn't haram, like, that is not admirable.
Nothing worthwhile ever comes easy. Yeah, you know, you always have to work your way up. And plus, at the same time, you go through those struggles. People say that that's the best part of the journey. You know, I look at a lot of people's stories who, Allahumma barik, have money now, and they say, like, after I got money, you know, it just wasn't the same anymore. But the best part about it was, you know, trying to get that money, going through all those struggles, even though as hard as it was, that was the best part about it. On top of that, you got a story to tell, and then you can, other people can learn from that and better themselves from that as well. But if you just took the easy way out, you know, people, obviously, they can learn what not to do, or, you know, take the easy way out as well. But that just makes us weaker and weaker as people.
And also, you might think that you have, like, even like you have a large sum in your bank account, you might think you have a lot, but really, like, let's look at how your provision could be restricted. Maybe, car accident, now I got to pay off this car, 40 bands gone. I get cancer, now I got to pay this chemotherapy. Like,
that's actually
like,
right.
And then, like, you just see all the money in your bank account going away. Like, what happened? You were up, you were arrogant.
I saw a sheikh talking about that. It was like, someone who goes out and earns a haram means, Allah will take that money back in other ways, and like ways of calamities and things of that nature. Like, you're right. Oh, I got $1 million off selling drugs. Now I have to pay $1 million back in medical fees and stuff like that. Yeah. You know,
oh, I got to pay my air conditioning system in my house is broken. I have to pay $10,000 just to get that fixed. Like, these types of things. And that's such a true thing, because I always think about that. Like, bro, you know, money is nice and stuff, but I always think about, like, what happens. Reality. Like, I have to have that rainy day money, and, you know, bismillah, like, it doesn't happen as often as it should. But when it does happen to someone, you see, like, how it can, like, ruin their plans. Like, maybe they had a vacation plan, now they can't go on it because, you know, they had something come up and they had to spend a large sum of money because, you know, their money's coming from a haram place. And you think that you're free to spend it however you want. Look, but really, that provision belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And here's the thing. You don't let bank, don't let dollars, don't let euros, don't let the number fool you. There's people with $0, €0, and they're living. they're living and they're enjoying life and they're satisfied. We know them. They're in, like, we've seen them in Sudan. We've seen people in the village. They don't have to use monetary transactions. They wake up, they eat their food, they take care of their kids, they go, they work for their families. I've seen it with my own eyes. And I remember thinking, like, when I'm in Sudan and I see, like, the people, like, in the village or even, like, in what they mean, like, I'm like, wow. In America, I have, you know, Apple Pay, dollars, this, that. I have to do this, I have to do that. But these people, they're living the same way I am. They're waking up, they're going to sleep, they're laughing, they're joking, sometimes they're sad. Like, is there that big of a disparity?
I mean, even like you said, don't let the numbers fool you. You know, you can have someone, they're making $500,000 a year, but it doesn't make sense if they're spending $800,000 every single year. You know, they're just putting themselves at debt. And that's what a lot of people do. They'll go out, they'll get this quick money, then they spend it very quickly, or they're very irresponsible with their money. You know, they're like, oh, all right, I just made $100,000 this month. I can spend however much money I want this month because I can just make it right back. But then sometimes they're not able to make it right back, and things become hard. Now they're in debt. Now they're trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to pay their next bill or whatever.
And so finally, you just said something. Someone will make X amount of money, but they'll be buying more than that. That endless greed, and especially we're in the month of Ramadan, we got to know we're restricting our food and our drink. We're restricting that greed, that hunger to eat actual, like, food, our necessities. But, like, what about, like, our wants? Every single day, it's something new. Every single day, you want this, you want that, you want this, you want that. Why can't you just take a moment to say, thank God? Like, at least I'm here, you know? Like, at least, alhamdulillah, I was out of existence. Now I'm here. Behold, I'm eating and I'm drinking. Is that not amazing? And, like, people, they don't take that time to just think, like, hold on, calm down. I'm moving to this. I want this, I want this, I want that. Like, alhamdulillah.
Like, yeah, I actually saw a video like that earlier when it was talking about how the married wish that they were divorced, the unmarried wish that they were married, the old wish that they were young, the young wish that they were older. And then it was also talking about how mankind is always ungrateful. It was a Quran verse, it was chapter 22. I forgot the verse, but, you know, why can't you ever just sit there and be grateful for what you have?
And we as Muslims, we're not bringing up this topic of, like, wealth or whatever to say, like, oh, you should care about your wealth. Like, necessarily, you shouldn't really care about the number that's in your bank account, because it all comes from Allah. Like, you have to learn how to rely fully upon Allah. And if you're worrying about what's in your bank account, then you're not putting your full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's easier said than done, right? Like, that's something we all work and strive towards achieving. And it's something that I like to practice. Is, like, I don't like to look at my bank account. I don't like to look at the numbers, because I know, like, if I have to spend some money somewhere, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, will help me. Like, he will provide for me if I need that provision.
And by any means, we're not saying that, you know, like, forget about this world and, you know, just worry about the next life. Like, we're saying, like, by all means, pray to Allah. Ask for what you want, because Allah's going to respond. He tells us in the Quran, call upon him, he will respond to us. So, like, make dua, it's a form of worship. Call upon Allah, ask for whatever you want, but don't let your greed overcome you to the point where it withholds you from doing, like, your fard, like, giving, like, your zakat, like, or praying your charities, or I'm praying your charities, right? Giving your charities or praying your salah, or, like, don't let the work, like, consume you just for this thing that, like, we made up. Like, money's fiat. Like, it's not real, you know?
Yeah, that was something I was talking about with one of our boys the other day. I was like, money's not something I'd like sacrifice if it meant sacrificing my family. Like, I wouldn't, if there was, like, a job and I needed a promotion and this and that, I wouldn't sacrifice time with my family for that. Like, I'd be okay with where I'm at, because I have to be content sometimes. Of course, you want to always progress, but how can you progress if you're not content?
Or even, like, look at the language here. Like, imagine you were to ask someone, you want $100,000, right? Like, Hussein, I'm asking you, do you want $100,000?
Yeah.
Look. Would you do anything to get it? They'll say, no. So, like, really, you don't really want it. But, look, let's say someone, they said they'll do anything. Okay, sell your kidney. Sell your kidney. I think you can make $100,000 if you sold your kidney.
Divorce your wife. You can make a lot more.
You can make a lot more than just $100,000. Not only that, but, like, you see the point where I'm getting at here. It's not, you don't want just money. You want wealth. You want health. You want good health. You want your youth. People want to be young and rich. They want to do all these things. But, like, they seem to forget that that's not the reality. We're going to die one day. We're going to grow old.
Or, for example, yeah, I saw a video similar to what you're talking about right here. It was like, Osman, if I give you $10 million right now, how would you feel?
Feel great.
You feel great? Would you let anyone put you in a bad mood?
No.
Okay. What if I was to give you $10 million right now, but you weren't able to wake up tomorrow? And now, look, going from that, You say you would not sacrifice your life for that $10 million, meaning your life is more precious than that $10 million. Mm-hmm. So why right now, you just living life normally, why would you ever let anyone else bring you down? Why are you not grateful for what you have right now?
What little things we give for the favors of Allah?
Why would you ever think to sacrifice your akhirah to have some easy means of making like haram money? Just because you see, oh, it's a large sum right now, but like, where's that sum going to be on the day of judgment for you?
Exactly. Like we as Muslims, we of course, we think about the akhirah. We think about, all right, if I do haram, I'm going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. I might be in there forever, you know, if I die on disbelief. So if I was to tell you, I'd give you $1 billion right now, but you were to spend the rest of your life in jail, would you take that? Of course not. You'd be an idiot too. So why is it that we as Muslims, especially us as Muslims, because we know the reality, we know what's going to happen to us if we disobey Allah. Why is it that we go ahead and disobey Allah to gain worldly means just for us to end up in the hellfire, just for us to end up separated from our friends and family on the day of judgment because of the wrong things that we did? We're going to wish that our sins had such a big separation from us.
That's the worst transaction that you could make. The worst mode of business. You know,
it's something crazy that like you're bringing this up because how I brought up, we could easily make money through haram means, especially because we do social media. When we first started this and we started to get some traction and get some followers, I thought, oh shoot, the money's going to come in just like that. I didn't think like, oh, that's going to have a lot of hard work, some hardship, some striving, some struggling. Because I was like, oh, I just see all these people on social media. They have followers and all of a sudden, like they have Lamborghinis, they have these mansions and stuff like that. So I thought it was just like that. I was like, the money's just going to flow in somehow. I don't know. But that's not how it works, man. A lot of people may think that, oh, just because you see the figure on our social medias, you know, alhamdulillah for all of that, they think that it comes with money. It doesn't come with money. Nothing comes with money. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us through our means that we work for. We have to work for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only going to provide for you so long as you work for it. It's not like, oh, I ask Allah for provisions and I ask Allah for a certain job, but I don't go out and look for the job. I don't go out and actually work for the money that I need and I ask Allah for.
You know, it's subhanAllah, it wasn't until like we as a collective started social media that I didn't truly like realize the idea of like provision and sustenance and rizq like from Allah. It's like you can have two people that work the same occupation. Like you can have two doctors, but one makes $1 million a year and the other makes $200,000 a year. And it's like, subhanAllah, provision comes from Allah. They do the same thing, but provision comes from Allah. It's like, and then when you realize that, you say alhamdulillah. And what it made me realize is that like I kind of got into this like idea, this mode where like if I pray and I'm half like as my prayers, like I'm pertained over, like I'm praying my 5 days prayers, and like the best way probably like going to the masjid and praying in jama'ah, that the like I'm gonna be put into scenarios, put in situations where one day like Allah is gonna be there, because at the end of the day you're asking God for what you want. Like who's to tell you that it's not gonna happen?
And people want success a lot, right? Especially us as young Muslims, we want success. Like me, I just said, oh, I thought because we had followers on Instagram that the money would just flow in automatically. But no, that's not the way it is. Success is going to come with your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the adhan, it says, come to success. First, come to prayer, come to success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep calling you to success every single day. And if you can't answer that call on time, how do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer your dua on time? Why do you want an answer to your dua right away, but you don't pray right away?
And then knowing that Allah can get you anything that you want, and yet you still go out here and you don't want to pray your prayers.
Like, you don't even want it that bad.
But even that, like, we could always just go back to the topic of money, because for some reason, everyone desires money, right?
This is a universal topic.
Here. But here's the thing, though. Like, let's say I'd be like, Osman, I got a simple task for you to do. I'll give you $5 million. Just answer my 5 calls every single day. We're going to hop on a call for a couple of minutes and we're going to discuss some strategies. Mm-hmm. He'd answer all my calls on time. Bro, he'd set an alarm. He'd make sure that he was ready.
He'd make sure before.
15 minutes before, he's going to be like, all right, I got to make sure I'm on this. He's going to go lock himself in a room. He's going to make sure that nobody else like
can distract him.
And I'll call him and then I give him that. But then when Allah is calling you 5 times a day, you want to make all sorts of excuses. Oh, I'm at school. I'm at work. I'm doing yada, yada, yada. But then in reality, you're like, you know, this is Allah made this world. Allah created you. Who's to say that you have no right to pray anywhere that you want? Of course, then other than the bathroom and of course like that. But, you know, we sit here, we make all these excuses on why we should not pray. But then to go out and chase worldly gains, but not understanding who it comes from.
And that's one thing you want to think about too. Like, you don't think about how significant you really are. So a lot of people, they look at the universe, see how vast it is, like it's expanding, all these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they try to think that we're insignificant. As far as we know, we're the only humans out there, right? So why would you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling you specifically to come pray to him 5 times a day, to come and connect with him, is not significant? Like, you got to treat yourself as significant. That's one thing that we like to emphasize a lot, is that for you to find significance in yourself.
And to put put it in perspective, it's when Allah is calling you to success, it's not calling for his, like, success for himself. It's calling success for you. And it's like when Allah sent down the Quran as a guidance for mankind. Have you seen people without guidance? You know what happens when people don't have guidance? They go, they kill their daughters, and they bury their daughters alive. They bury their people alive. They go and they worship idols. They do blood sacrifices of their children to those idols. That's what happens when there's no guidance. They go and they kill your children and your women. They rape them. That's what happens when there's no guidance. And Allah sent down the Quran so that a people can be guided, and that a people, we could live in, like, have you seen, bro, like even just like, I'm speaking like to like Muslims here, like when you go to the mosque, you can see, like, it's so calm, it's so peaceful. Like, a person, you don't even know their name, they'll say, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you."
Yeah, it feels like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, and the blessings and mercy of Allah upon you. Like, what a dua, like, what a, like, a saying to say to something.
And even the stuff that's not included in the saying "Assalamu alaikum," they're also, like, praying for, like, your well-being, your health, and, like, everything around you.
I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. Especially, like, lived in America for so long, I've never seen...
There was an elder the other day when I was at Taraweeh. He just, like, you know, he said salam to me. I think I saw him the day before, and we prayed next to each other as well. He said salam to me, shook my hand, asked me for my name, and I asked him for his name. He was asking me where I was from, asked me what I do, like, oh, am I still in school, what I'm studying, everything. He just asked me about my life as if he was like a...
He's trying to get him married.
That's what I thought at first, but I was like, in reality, I was like, this is just nice. You know, someone, like, actually just, you know, caring for my well-being. They don't even know me. Like, being, I don't even know this brother. It. Exactly. He was genuine too. Like, he was like, well, I have a Sudanese. I was like, oh, snap. I was sitting there laughing. I was like, yeah, this is crazy. And, you know, he was just telling me a whole bunch of stuff, and it was like, it was really nice. I was like, bro, I don't even know this brother, but, like, he talked to me like as if he cared for me my whole life.
Not only that, another eye opener is that, especially at my mosque, is that you have people who, like, they, like, in terms of wealth and status, they're extremely high, and then you have a person like me. I'm a regular dude. I just like, I'm really young. I'm still, like, exploring the world and stuff, and I'll plant right next to him, and he'll treat me with, like, respect and dignity and honor. He won't treat me like I'm lower than him.
Yeah, because that's actually one thing, like, especially with, like, where I live, like, the city I live in, you got, like, a lot of people like that. And they're, like, up here in money and status, and they want to be treated a certain way. And they'll also look at you in a certain way if, you know, if you don't look on par with them, if you don't come from the same places as them. And it's actually kind of crazy to think about, but it's just the reality that we live in. And I love just going to the masjid. And it's like, I feel like I just get disconnected from all that. I forget about all that. Then I leave the masjid, and I'm just like, man, I'm right back to it. Right back to this bullshit. Hold on.
I gotta bring up a very important point, bro. This might have to be clipped, because I want to address something to every single Muslim out there. If you see Muslims who are making videos online or doing something online, go ahead and support them. Support their businesses. Support what they do. Because we as Muslims, we scale each other up. We're there for each other. Nobody else is going to be there for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically put us against the world. It's us. We are together. We are the one ummah. And we have to scale each other. We have to help each other. Why would you go out and continually try to support these kafir nations, these kafir companies, over your own Muslim brothers and sisters, especially when there's something that's beneficial? Don't be stingy with your money. Not in charity, not in sadaqah. Don't be stingy when it comes to something that could be beneficial to you or your family, and it's being offered by a Muslim, especially because you can help scale them up. You can get good deeds for that. They can get good deeds for that, especially when it's something like what we're trying to do. We want to help Muslims. We want to help other Muslims. We want to help scale other Muslims and help people in their youth, just like we want to help ourselves in our youth and remind ourselves. You want to help each other. Because if I see a Muslim out there, I want to help them way more than I want to help another kafir. Like, I'm out here buying stuff from these companies that support some, I don't even know what, man.
And it's like, when you go to a Muslim store, you ask them for a discount. Like, nah. Exactly. Remember how we said last week? It's like, nah, you don't want a discount. I want to pay more than I'm at a Muslim.
But,
like,
this is how the non-Muslims want us. The non-Muslims, they don't want us to be united together because they know Islam is the strongest religion. But yet, if they divide us, right, then it's better for them. Because if we as Muslims, we were self-sufficient, we could literally take over the world.
Exactly.
And nobody could do anything about it. But of course, that's not what these non-Muslims want to do. And it's a good point that you bring up. Oh, okay, when I go to a Muslim store, I'm asking for a discount. But then I'm supporting these kafirs like Nike and Adidas, and I'm paying full price. And their profit margins are crazy. They're making a lot of money on these products.
It cost them like $2 to make a shoe, and they sell it for $200.
But then, of course, when you have your Muslim with a small business, they're... their cost might be a little bit higher because they might not buy as much.
And they're not doing it through haram means.
But yeah, you want to ask for a discount on that. Then you leave them with practically nothing most of the time. And it's a sad reality to think about.
It's not even just like just business. Like we just have to think about it in like the whole sense. Because yeah, I like to see for what we want. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for us, right?
You got to see it. You got to see it yourself in them. Whenever you see like another Muslim, you got to see yourself in them. Why? Because this person says he believes the same things as you. He shares the same struggles.
Right. I was just about to say
that. Shared, like if a person is his enemy, that's your enemy too. Like you're a Muslim, you know?
Because like, all right, let's say you take your college course. You know, you want to go learn about something. But then I know about that same topic as well. You might go to your college professor, you might trust in them more, but yet me as a Muslim, I might know the same amount of information or more, but yet I don't drink alcohol, you don't drink alcohol. I don't believe in interest, you don't believe in interest. Why wouldn't you want to go ahead and learn from me who does it in the right way versus knowing someone that the non-Muslims and the Muslims want to give a whole bunch of credibility to just because he has some sort of title on his name?
Me personally, I'd want to go to the Muslim because I'm like, he can give me advice, especially if it's something Islamic. Like if I fear something, like for me as someone who studies finance, obviously going to someone who's not Muslim, they're gonna you know, deliver me all these like interest based things and tell me all about these things that may be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why like I got into it, because I wanted to learn like, okay, what are the different ways to go about like your finances, especially as a Muslim? How can we do this, especially when you live in Western societies? And I want to be able to be like, okay, if you're Muslim and you need, you know, help financially, if you need some financial advice, you know, you can come to me. I can help you because I learned like what they want from you. I know the scam of the economic system, the monetary system. I know what they want from you. So I know how to tell you like, okay. And if I tell people that online, why wouldn't you want to come and support me? Because I can help you and you can help me. It's a mutual transaction. It's not like with these other companies, they just want for something from you. You get something in return, but it's not serving the same purpose as it is for them. Like, I'm going to give you something mutually beneficial. You may trade it for some money, but like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, this information should only cost me like $5 and I'm going to charge $75. I know. I'm going to charge. Like, you see how Muslims, they always want to work with someone. I go to a Muslim business and they're like, wait, you're Muslim? And then they'll be like, oh, no, I'll give it to you for cheaper. You know, you're my brother. I'm like, wow. SubhanAllah. They're sacrificing their profit margins. You know, something they may need to feed their family to help me out because I'm Muslim, just because they learned that I say la ilaha illallah as well. But me saying la ilaha illallah as well, I should want to pay more, mm-hmm. especially if I have the means to do it. Not only does it become, you know, me making a purchase, but like that could be a means of sadaqah for me.
And on top of that, that'll also give more room to like the people who actually do need it, who actually do need the money. It's like, all right, you know, this guy paid more for my product. Now I can actually go out and give my money away to people who need it more instead of me being out here. It's like, see what I'm saying here? Yeah.
And that's one thing I wanted to just bring up. Like, a lot of people ask us, like, what are the plans for Deen Tour and whatnot? What are our three plans? And, you know, bidnillah, like, we want to do something with it. We want to have some projects that we could do that are beneficial, very beneficial for the Muslim community. And we want to do it right. We want to do it in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the only way we could do stuff like this is if we have the support and the unity of our fellow Muslims. Because who are we if we don't have our fellow Muslims around us? We're like every other person.
Just podcasters. That's how
No, it's not even just like us in ourselves. I'm saying like us as individuals. Who are we if we don't have a Muslim community around us? If we don't have a unified Muslim community that sees our efforts and wants to support us as well, or we want to do the same for other people? Because at the end of the day, we're in it together. What are we trying to do it for? I'm trying to avoid haram. You're trying to avoid haram. You're trying to go towards what's halal. You're trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the end of the day, why would none of us want to help each other? Like he said, we could really all be in a state of like
unity
and self-sufficiency if we really wanted to. But that's not how we work. Us as humans, we have greed. We're hasty. We want things right now. We don't want to, you know, trust the process.
No, on top of that, we want things right now. We don't want to trust the process. But a lot of us, we don't want to see somebody doing better than us. We don't want to see somebody having something that we don't have. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have not truly believed until you want for your brother what you want for yourself.
SubhanAllah. That's actually crazy, yeah. Like, if I see someone doing something, I'm like, wow, SubhanAllah, like, I want that for him. Like, that's Allahumma Barik. He's doing amazing for himself. And I may not be in the same position, but I feel like I'm winning too because there's a Muslim out there that's winning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see some of these Muslims who, like, you know, they show that they get to go to Umrah like 3 times a year now because, you know, they made a couple of smart decisions and they made some good wealth for themselves by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way that they, you know, attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I love that. Because those are the types of videos I watch. You see the same types of videos from non-Muslims, right? They're telling, oh, how I made $100,000 in a month. But they're telling you from a different way. Then you see the Muslim, like, wow. Like, he's a believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes to Umrah. He uses his money in a way that's responsible. At least he's showing it. But he's showing us in a way that's beneficial for us. Because whatever goes on behind cameras, it doesn't matter to me because he's showing me what's beneficial for me. I'm seeing a reminder. I'm like, wow, subhanAllah, like, he's using his money in a good manner and he can give out to charity. And, you know, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward those types of people because they give me motivation. I'm like, wow. Okay, if I could do this as well, then I want to be able to, you know, spend my money in a way that is pleasing to Allah. I don't want to be someone who I get money and then I end up being stingy with it. I'm like, oh, I have all this money, but I'm not going to give any to my parents. I'm not going to give any in charity. Or if I'm going to give them charity, I'm going to give the minimal amount. Like,
bro, at the end of the day, what's the point of having all that money if you're not going to be using it for those types of reasons? That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, me personally, you know, after like, oh, all right, I make my first meal or six figures or whatever it is in a month, then I'm just like, bro, I can't, what am I going to do with all this money? Like, there's only a certain amount of things that I could buy. Oh, if I buy a yacht and all these things that are not going to be beneficial, but what's one reality is going to make me feel a lot better? Giving that money to my parents, buy my mom a house, you know, helping out the Muslims. Things like this. These are the things that matter the most instead of, all right, you just blowing all your money, going to clubs and buying random things that won't benefit you and won't benefit you in the grave.
Well, because when you achieve that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, before you attain wealth, then you're going to be in a position where, like, oh, buying a yacht or buying this super nice car or having a car collection is not really going to avail me right now. Like, I'm going to have the necessities.
It's like the scenario I'm drawing up in my head is like, you know, whatever. Let's say you have all this in the world. You go, you buy a boat. You wake up on that boat and it's like, I'm going to die. Like, the first thought that would come to my mind, I wake up and I see the view and like, I'm going to die soon. It's like, it's going to come one way or another. Like, I don't know how, it doesn't make sense to me how even like non-Muslims, how they scratch the fact that they're going to die soon. It's like, dude, like, what's next?
It's,
like,
it's all about perspective.
Like,
though.
Okay, it's a good feeling. It's a pleasure. Okay, now what? Like, that doesn't really concern me. It's more about like, man, like,
how is this pleasure going to avail me?
Yeah, how is this pleasure? Like, okay, it's a good feeling. Okay, now what? Like, good job, want a cookie? Like,
then again, it's all about perspective. We as Muslims, we're like, all right, we're going to die. Let's prepare for death. Their perspective is, we're going to die. Let's do everything that we can while we're here before we die. And then we're not going to be able to enjoy these things for the rest of our life. But yet, they don't even know what's coming. It's more risky to not believe in God than to believe in God. It's more risky to not follow in Allah's way than to follow in Allah's way. Because you're sacrificing very little things for your own benefit at the end of the day to gain a lot. But yeah, you're sacrificing everything for nothing. For literally nothing.
You're gonna go dust and bones, like, sooner or later. It's gonna happen.
I'll never know how people want to, like, non-Muslims, how they can praise not having discipline. Like, they look down on the Muslim for having discipline. Like, how can you do that?
Well, there you go. That's what Osman was talking about earlier. This is what happens when we lack guidance. You know, when you're not sincere, when you don't seek out the help of Allah, when you don't call out to God, this is exactly how we're going to be. You're going to make fun of people for doing the right thing, and you're going to do all the wrong things and think that you're doing right. You can't tell right from wrong, and you can't tell wrong from right.
And this statement is very, like, significant right here, because people think that right and wrong just pertains to crimes. Like, oh yes, killing is wrong, and, you know, helping the needy is right, these morally right things. But even what he just said just now, like, oh, I'm going to get my money in XYZ way, and it's not necessarily right, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to make fun of the guy who goes and does it the right way, or I'm going to make fun of the guy who goes and prays 5 times a day because I don't have to do it. Oh, I don't believe in that. Like, I believe my salvation comes from X, Y, and Z, even though it has no evidence. Like, that's also you not knowing right from wrong, because you think that you're doing right when in reality, like, you know you're doing wrong. And for the people who actually do know it and they know it in their heart that what they're doing is wrong, it's not backed by anything, like, concrete. They're living a frugal life. They're living, like, a life that's meaningless in all realities of it. And if you want to be someone who wants to bask in, you know, the treasures of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to you as paradise. But your paradise will not be eternal. Your paradise will only be as long as you live. And that may be cool for some people. Some people may see that as sufficient because they keep chasing it.
And it reminds me, like, bro, like, you know, the conversation on the day of judgment, like, where the people, like, did you find the promise of Allah to be true? They'll say yes. The people of hellfire, they'll say yes. The people of Jannah, they'll say yes. Did you find the promise of your Lord to be true, that you're going to return to? Yes. Like, that's, I mean, I don't know how you could get more than that. Like, one day it's going to happen. And there's going to be a party of people. I told you
something. I love, like, that ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah where it's like, how can you disbelieve in Allah seeing that you were dead and he gave you life? And like,
yeah, and it's like, as simple as that. It's like, what more is there to elaborate
but
on?
But hold on though. Like, every single time I read that ayah, it's like, all right, the first time I read it, it kind of like went over my head. But then I read it the second time and the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time, the sixth, the seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth time. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, yeah, subhanAllah. Like, I was actually at one point nothing, and now I'm here talking on this podcast, and you're out here listening to me. Eating from food. You probably might be on all the way across the world, and yet it was made possible through the will of Allah. Like, 30 years ago, I wasn't even a thought. Yeah. I was nothing. And now Allah gave me life.
Eating, drinking, not only that.
Enjoying life.
Impact on the world, too. Impact on the people that you meet. Like, it's subhanAllah.
The moral of what I want to finish this off with is, for all our fellow Muslims out there, know that what you do has an impact. You impact your own life and you can impact the life of others around you. And we as Muslims should seek to unify and scale each other up. Help each other up. Help a Muslim out. Help yourself out. Do in a matter that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you should want for your brother what you want for yourself. Want for these Muslims around you what you want for yourself. If you see someone in a better position than you, keep wanting it for them. Want it for them the way that you would want it for yourself. And we are saying this because there are so many things that lots of us as Muslims plan for our own lives. But like, we should also be looking at Muslims around us as well. Look at the Muslims who are less fortunate than us. Look at Muslims who are more fortunate than us. And all live in a unity that we all are seeking paradise. Mm-hmm. And we have stuff planned, bi-idhnillah. We have projects planned, things that can help us and help other people, bi-idhnillah, like lots of reminders and, I can't get too much into it, but just know that there are things coming that we would seek the help on of people who support us, bi-idhnillah. And if you have the means, of course, this is all like by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have the means, then go ahead and support us. But if not, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and increase everyone out there who is watching and listening. So just say ameen. And with that, you know, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Well, if you guys enjoyed this, make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. Also, we're still students of knowledge, but we're not scholars. Make sure to also join the Discord. You know, we're building the biggest Discord in the Muslim community. And if you took anything from this episode, you want to go ahead and support us, and I will support you as well. You're doing this for your own benefit. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.